We're going to be talking to you mostly today about the Citizen Climate Lobby, and I have a couple very specific questions about Citizen Climate Lobby for you. But also, if you want to, just before we get into CCL, if you want to just tell the listeners a little bit about your own personal background and how you came to talking about the environment, because as your bio says, you didn't start there.
No, actually, my background was in health, and I had very poor health when I was younger, and I was always passionate about environmental issues, but I couldn't act on it. And then about 7 years ago, I got a lot better, and I decided to finally concentrate on my passions, which was health, and the environment. So what I did was I combined both those passions and started a new business, and that is EnviroHealth Presentations. So I go to schools and businesses, and I talk about how the environment interacts with our own health. So I was going to many environmental events to keep my education current, and I met this woman, and she started talking about this group, Citizens Climate Lobby, and I was completely impressed with her. I thought, wow, this is somebody who seems like she's really going to get something done. And I wasn't, I didn't have a major volunteer effort at the time, and I thought, this is perfect. So I got started with that, and that was over two and a half years ago now, and it's just been an amazing ride, and I'm loving it.
So not to put you on the spot too much, but I'm afraid you didn't tell me I couldn't mention this. But one of the interesting things when we were talking ahead of time, I know you've got a scared look on your face. Don't worry. I'm only teasing. No, one of the things that really interested me when we were talking before the program was that you'd mentioned that you'd been disinclined on occasion to join environment groups or citizen groups or kind of community groups in the past because you had a sense, and I don't know if maybe you can explain, I don't know if that was based on some bad experiences if you want to talk a little bit about what did disinclined you to be involved with other environment groups, even though environment is an issue that's very important for you. And then after that, what specifically about CCL really spoke to you?
Right. And perfect. Okay. So what happened was I was just feeling like I'm too busy in my life, and I'm not the kind of person that likes to garden. I'm not like the kind of person that would have time to do a lot of baking unless it was for myself. So I just thought, you know, how can I do something on a bigger scale? So on a macro scale, thinking big picture. That was really what I was trying to, I didn't actually have any bad experiences. I just didn't really see how I fit in. Mm-hmm. Then I could see how I could use my particular skills to further an organization that was looking at the macro picture. And there's not a lot of people that want to do that kind of work when it's easier in a way to, yes, make yourself a garden or, make some cookies for a bake sale to raise funds, or even fundraisers that are, one fundraiser and then another fundraiser. But a coordinated effort is really what I was looking for, so that every minute that I spent on something was going to really show the effect. Mm-hmm. And that's what I saw in Citizens Climate Lobby. There was a lot of structure that I saw. It started in the U.S. and Marshall Saunders is the founder. He started in 2007. And what happened was he was working in microloans in countries, in disadvantaged countries, to give business people there a way to start up and keep their livelihoods going. And he just realized, well, gee, I can do all this work, but with what's happening with climate change, their lifestyle is going to be decimated. Their countries are going to be decimated. So the Citizens Climate Lobby model is based on this organization called Results, and their focus is poverty issues. And so the premise of Citizens Climate Lobby is that we act on a grassroots level. We're all volunteers in Canada. There's 20 chapters in Canada, and we believe that politicians don't create political will, that it's citizens that create the political will, and then politicians do what they're asked to do. So that was something that was also different for me. I've never really heard that before.
Now, some cynical people who were here, I'm afraid, we're missing Kevin Farmer so far. I'm sure who would be jumping in at this point. But, I mean, it could be said that, yes, that's how it's supposed to work. But, you know, everybody knows that's not really how it works. Can you address that concern a little bit about, you know, if that was the model, then yes, I think citizens have a lot of power. But I think a lot of citizens feel, for justifiable reasons, very disempowered because they don't feel like that's actually how it works.
I think a lot of people don't have personal experience doing it. People think they have an impression of what it's like to deal with politicians, but they've never actually dealt with politicians. So, like, for example, I was skeptical also. I was thinking, yeah, how is this going to work? But I have seen amazing things that the members in the Toronto chapter and other chapters have done, because we hear about it. We have a monthly meeting, and it's a teleconference with all of the United States chapters and all of the Canadian chapters, and you actually hear people say, I met with this politician, and this is what happen afterwards. And it's really, CCL is all about creating relationships. So we don't go storming in and saying, hey, you're doing a terrible job. What we do is we have a laser focus, and our laser focus is on a policy that is meant to reduce carbon emissions, and it's called carbon fee and dividend. So what we do is we just introduce that to the politician, and we're working with politicians of the provincial and federal level, so we don't get involved in the municipal. That's part of our laser focus. And we just explain to them what it is. And we have an amazing opportunity this year in Canada with the NDP and the Liberal parties looking at their policies. And we feel like the more politicians that know what carbon fee and dividend is, the more likely they will enact or push for such a policy when the time comes, when the opportunity comes. So it's all about relationships. And, you know, like anything in life, the squeaky wheel gets oiled. And the squeakier you are, the more you're calling, the more you're emailing the politician, then they get to know you. And when you, for example, if there's ever some significant news that comes up, they might not know about it. I mean, they have to deal with all issues. And so we're just that conduit to say, hey, did you know about this? Or you might want to act on this. Mm-hmm. So it's been a totally different experience than what I imagined it would be, because I was also skeptical about that. And I was hesitant to go to these kinds of meetings. And this is just optional. Like, this is just one aspect of what we do in CCL is meet with politicians. There's other aspects that we also do.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying the squeaky wheel gets the grease in a sense, but I get the sense that it's like squeaking as opposed to silence, but also squeaking as opposed to screaming, right? Like,
that's
you're
right. We don't scream.
Banging down doors.
No. It's all about forming good relationships. And the other thing we do is also try to do the same with media. We haven't had as much success, or we haven't put as much effort forward with media as we have with politicians. But one of the things that we have put a lot of effort on is letters to the editor. Again, I was very skeptical about that. I was like, you know what? I don't have time to write these letters, even though I feel like I want to, but I just never felt like I had the time. So then we got, because the structure of CCL is very supportive. So our executive director will lead sessions. Well, how do you write a good letter to the editor? Number one thing is keep it brief. A lot of people want to go on and on and on. So I learned how to do that. And so now when I have ideas, I don't just stew at home, because one of our newest members, actually, he said, well, Gia, I like CCL because instead of just complaining on Facebook, I can actually have an outlet, a constructive outlet to give my complaints. And that's how I feel about it too. It's been an amazing experience. And the other thing we try to do in CCL is always encourage people empowerment. So use your own personal power. And people always think, oh, I have no power. I'm just this little person here. But think about who you know. Whether it's we've had situations where people live on the street as a very influential person. And all they need to do is say, hey, neighbor, this is what I'm involved with. Can you help in some way? And people are amazingly open to helping, but we tend not to ask. That's a problem that people have, is they tend not to ask, and they tend to think that they're little.
Can you give me a sense, just maybe based either on your personal experience or just the history of CCL, about some of the like tangible successes or frustrating failures that you really were hoping something and just weren't able to do it, or something you're really proud of, or both, hopefully, if you have both.
The good news, Darren, is off the top of my head, I can't think of any failures. The successes, though, I can think of many, and I just brought in something that came up at our December monthly meeting, which blew my mind. I was like, wow, I can't believe we're this amazing. So as I said, we're 80 active CCL groups in Canada and the U.S. combined. And in In 2011, we had combined 118 letters to the editor. And we track this because when we go and meet with politicians, especially our U.S. counterparts, when they go to the Capitol Hill, they actually take a book of all the photocopies of letters to the editor and say, hey, people do care about climate change, and they provide it to them in a very tangible way. So in 2011, we had 181 letters to the editor. In 2012, we had 537. And that's not just so much about the chapter growth, but it's also the individuals doing more and more. Mm-hmm. We had 500 editorials. So this would be like in the major newspaper in 2011, 22. And then meetings with MPs and MPPs and then Congress and senators, 534 in 2012 versus 255 in 2011. So we're getting stronger and stronger and better at what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, one of the reasons I guess it was a difficult question to ask you for a failure is that it's, the failure simply is as if you give up, right? Because if you haven't convinced someone, you keep at it, I guess. So maybe failure is the wrong way to put it, but maybe I could rephrase that more. What I was getting at was the idea of that, like, have you had any experience where you hit a roadblock where you just had to realize that there was a completely change of tactic, or like maybe a particular senator or a particular politician was just not interested and you sort of had to find a way to sidestep them? What sort of roadblocks and difficulties have you hopefully then overcome or are in the process of overcoming, but maybe something as far as someone who maybe is interested in helping with this sort of thing, but it wants to know, okay, so what do you do if they don't want to listen, or what do you do if the person isn't receptive?
Just work on it. It's all about building relationships. It's not going to be a quick fix. That's why I think a lot of other people are not attracted to doing this kind of work, because it's not fast and sometimes it's not very tangible. That's why we try to make it as tangible as possible for people by actually counting our successes. So there's been situations. I remember some of our Canadian volunteers went to the U.S. The past 2 years to do the big lobbying days in June. And there was people there that just didn't want to hear it. And then, but the thing was, from they went in 2011 and the politician didn't want to hear it. And then 2012, they were interested. So it's we've been, you know, I hear countless times on the call, people will say, I was discouraged, but then this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the beauty, and that's the inspiration. And Darren, you don't know me well, but I don't get excited very easily by anything. And I have to say, I am excited by this group. I'm really, really excited.
Oh, great. Yeah. So maybe we can move a little bit on just to some of your own work as well. So, I mean, you obviously spend a lot of time and care very much about Climate Citizen Lobby and what you're doing there. Do you want to just let people know a little bit more about your own talks and your own business? And one of the things that was interesting in your bio, you said that you'd originally thought that you'd be more inclined to speaking to adults, but you found that you should be getting them while you're young, you said.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I'm always constantly thinking in my mind is, how can I do more to make change on a broader level for climate, in the fight for against climate change? And originally, I thought, making lunch and learn presentations to adults, that's the way that I want to go with my business. And then I realized, but wait a sec, if my goal is to make as much change in attitudes as possible, as quickly as possible, then I need to go into schools. And so then I decided right early on to have schools as my focus. And that's how that decision was made. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what when we're talking schools, what age range are you looking at?
Everything from kindergarten into high school. Typically in elementary schools, I'm making assembly presentations. So it can be anywhere from 80 to 400 students. Mm-hmm. And in high schools, it's a classroom presentation. So sometimes they combine classrooms. That's what I'm going to be doing Monday. I'm going to be going to a high school and talking about healthy eating. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And you've been doing this for a little while now. Have you noticed any change over time in the sort of level of knowledge that the students already have about issues? I can give you a personal example that it was interviewing a couple high school students, and I was actually quite shocked at the level of information they already had. Can you talk a little bit maybe just about, like, do you notice that these students all often will be quite familiar already with some of the things you want to talk about?
It really depends. I live in Toronto, so there is a big gaps in socioeconomic conditions, and that also affects the schools individually and the students. So these presentations are all customized, and I always get information about what kind of school I'm going to, because sometimes students are very knowledgeable and sometimes they're not. And obviously dealing with different age groups, so, you know, the younger kids have very little knowledge. But it's also just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you have the inspiration to make a difference, to do something about it. So I always try to definitely end every presentation on a positive note and give students as much tangible things that they can do, and show them even other young people that have been very successful in doing something and how they did it. So I try to weave all those things into it.
Yeah. Do you find that's hard at all? I mean, whether you're dealing with children or with adults, that's one of the kind of struggles that we deal with constantly on this program as well. I generally deal with it by being very sarcastic, but how do you try and end conversations about climate change on a positive note? Because that's a challenge unto itself.
Well, human psychology is very complicated, but you have to give people something that they can do. And that is, you can think big picture and you can act big picture, but ultimately it's like a muscle. So if you're trying to get strong, you're trying to build up your muscle, and the students have to do the same thing. Making little changes and realizing the impact of the little changes eventually leads to big changes. So... yeah, it's all about inspiration and just starting the students to do something, and that leads to other things. I mean, that's how I got involved in CCL in the first place. You know, I didn't. It was a process, and what I'd like to encourage people to do is just jump in, and you're going to have fun. You're going to be amazed at what you're going to do, and you know, 10, 20 years from now, and someone says, well, what were you doing about climate change? Or when your grandchildren or your children ask you, you can say, well, this is what I was doing.
Now, one of the things that there was two things when I was having another look at the CCL website this morning. One that was that I noticed was that you had a clip of Dr. James Hansen, who's one of my favorites, and we were very fortunate to be able to interview him a couple years ago, actually. And the other one was for a film called Chasing Ice. And I wasn't sure if you wanted to maybe save that for another time, or if you wanted to say a few words about that today. But just about why what that film was and why you'd chosen to put it front and center on the website.
Yeah, well, we chose to put it front and center because so many of our members have seen it and they were so impacted by it. But what they said is there's nothing at the end. It doesn't tell you what you can do. So it leaves you kind of just hanging, this amazingly impactful film, but it leaves you hanging. So and we decided that, hey, why don't we use this as an opportunity? So in CCL, we're constantly being creative. We're constantly thinking, how can we do something? What can somebody do? And a lot of it is just up to us. What do you want to do? So this is something that I kind of also took on for the Toronto area, and our Canadian manager's taking it up for the Sudbury area. So what we're trying to do is talk after screenings of Chasing Ice and actually tell people about CCL and how they can actually make a change. And so that's what we're using. This is our first time really using a documentary as a springboard to both get new members and to get people into the audience that normally wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm. And just to give a background on it as well, this was a documentary was filming a lot of the basically the breaking up of the Arctic and the melting of sea ice and some of the, but I mean, which sort of sounds, you can say that it rolls easily off the tongue without getting any sense of its impact at all, but this is really stunning photography and videography that's taking shocking images, really. I mean, I'd find it off the cuff to find it hard to say that watching ice melt was shocking, but it really is quite shocking.
Well, yeah, and the photographer who's profiled in the film, National Geographic photographer, he actually said that 20 years ago he was one of the deniers, not feeling like climate change was a real thing. And now he's basically risking literally life and limb to go take pictures of it because he understands how impactful those photos are. And one of the examples, I just saw it actually last night. I was speaking at a screening, and he said, you know, he actually showed in 100 years this glacier retreated, so melted, 8 miles. In the last 10 years, it did the same. So 100 years compared to 10 years. So it's is visually showing the proof. And he has spoken, you know, to many, many audiences and shown them this. And this is very impactful. So that's why CCL has latched onto this as another means to spread the message.
Absolutely. So I'm afraid we're running out of time, Liz, but I want to thank you so much for joining us today. So maybe we'll recommend this. We'll put a link up to the Chasing Ice preview. And then when people are wondering what they can do because they're so terrified after they've seen it, how do they contact you to join CCL?
Right. So they can go to our website, citizens with an S, climatelobby.ca, and then they can link to other sites and like the American site. So that's the best way. And also, if you really don't have time to volunteer, please consider donating. We do want to send more volunteers to Ottawa this summer to do lobbying, and that would be an extreme help. Thank
you. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Liz.
Thanks.